Welcome to episode number 10 of Soccer.
Duh.
The Horn's unofficial, yet so official, soccer podcast with Bucky Godbolt and Brad Kellner. Sponsored by Altstadt Brewery, 34 Wine and Spirits, Green Mountain Flower Company, and Brown Eye Clothing. I am BK Brad Kellner, along with Bucky Godbolt. And Buck, one Austin FC match to recap from last week. Unfortunately, another loss for the Verde and Black, and another shutout loss for the Oaks, as Austin FC fell to Seattle 1-0 at Q2 Stadium last Thursday night. Buck, your overall thoughts on the match. What did you like? What did you not like from the Oaks this past week?
The thing I do like about this soccer team right now, BK, is the fact that the goalkeeper has not left the team and taken off and gone somewhere else. I do like that Brad Stuver has stuck around. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. You know, he had his opportunity. We never thought he would start. Nobody knew if he's going to start. But that guy's been fantastic all year long. And you talk about a supporting cast that hasn't really supported him. It's just been a shame to waste so far of what is this season. I'm not saying it's over. They're sitting at the bottom of the heap right now. But I'm not going to say it's over. But I don't see any significant movement that's going to change what they do. Time of possession last week against the best team in the MLS, against, quite frankly, the youngest team in the MLS, your opportunity, you had them. You had all kinds of time of possession, but you can't put the ball in the net. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening. They don't have enough attackers. They don't have enough scorers. But more than anything, they don't have anybody that can finish right now.
No, it'd be really nice for Musa Gite to get here sooner rather than later. Still waiting on an update for the recent transfer addition for Austin FC. He's dealing with some paperwork issues coming in from overseas. You know, there's a COVID quarantine as well. So hopefully Austin FC can get some striking help sooner rather than later. But yeah, it's a recurring theme for this club at this point. And you mentioned it, Buck. The Oaks dominated time of possession last week. The end of the match with 74.7% of possession, but they only generated 3 shots on target. They're like playing a game of keep away, which is fine when you have a lead, but when it's 0-0 or when you're down 1-0, which was the case for Austin FC after the 67th minute, you got to generate more high-quality scoring chances, and that wasn't the case. 4 times in 5 home MLS matches where Austin FC has gone scoreless, Buck. They scored 4 against Portland, but 0 against Columbus, 0 against San Jose, 0 against LAFC, and now 0 against Seattle. They've been shut out in 8 of the last 10 MLS matches overall. They've got 10 goals this season, Buck, which is tied for last in MLS. The team they're tied with, Inter Miami, has actually played 2 fewer matches than Austin FC. So you said it, man. And look, it doesn't take a couple of dudes doing a podcast to figure it out.
No.
That's the biggest issue for this club. And it's been the biggest issue since pretty much day one, and they have not found a way to address it yet.
Yeah, well, they have an opportunity to grab another attacker, a third designated player. Do they or don't they? I mean, I'm not going to say this is – I don't even want to go to the point of saying this is big boy soccer. What are you going to do? Are you going to put the money in there where you can get an attacker, possibly a kid from Argentina? Or do you wait this out?
What are you thinking, Messi?
Yeah, if possible. But I don't know. I don't know if you play this out. You're at the bottom of the heap. I don't see anything that changes it. I don't even know if an attacker at this part of, 16 games, 15 games left, do you do that? Do you try to get, as an expansion team, get into the playoffs and spend a lot of money on a player? Eventually, you're going to have to spend. You need to know that Pochettino and Dominguez are – they are your designated players. They're not scoring a lot. They have opportunities, but they haven't finished. And so you're going to have to bring in an attacker that's going to score goals for you. That just is going to be the way it is. You've got a good enough skill guys right now that they've gotten better at keeping the ball. That's obvious with time of possession. They're getting better and better at ball on the foot, keeping possession, some one-on-ones. They're just not scoring. So eventually, what are you going to do? Are you not going to pay somebody to come here and be a scorer, or at least hope that they're a scorer? Because the 2 designated players right now, we've seen enough of them this year to know they're either out of position or they're really not what you thought they were.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Especially Pochettino.
Yeah, agreed. He just looks a half step slow.
Yes.
Like his decision-making just isn't there. And You know, you think when you'd get a designated player playing in a better league overseas, they'd be able to adjust to
correct.
The speed of the game relatively easily. You think they'd be a half step ahead of everybody
well,
here.
Well, especially the MLS game.
Yeah, and that's not been the case for Tomas Pochettino. I think his play has gotten a little bit better as the season has progressed, but he's still not the impact player
correct.
That I think this club thought they were getting and what you need from the guy who dons the number 7.
So what do you do, Biqueta? Do you, at this time of the year, as I said, with the remaining games, do you just go on and continue to work the things that you're doing? Because time of possession is, I mean, I think that is important. If you were getting your rear end beat and you didn't possess the ball and it wasn't 1-0, but it was 2-0 or whatever, you're still losing, but there's something that's positive out of it. Your guys are doing a decent job with time of possession. You just need somebody to kick it in the net. I don't know what you do. I don't know if you go out at this time and play some big money for somebody or you wait this thing out.
Yeah.
I know this. If you wait it out, you're going to get a lot of 1-0s because you got a great goalkeeper. And you're going to be disappointed, but the fans keep showing up to Q2. That's one thing. It's a party. It's a 90-minute party. And maybe for the first year you say, let's love the party. But then you have to show something to the people the following year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're making some decisions here.
Look, the diehard fans are going to be loyal, and we've seen that. And we will continue to see that throughout
right?
2021. But the question is, what happens to the casual fan? What happens to the fan who's excited about Austin FC because it's in their town? Like, they're not a diehard soccer fan.
Right.
They haven't been waiting for this for years. There's just, hey, there's a pro team in town, and we're going to go check it out because that's the cool thing to do. Like, is there a chance you lose that part of the fan base this year? Like, they'll come back when this club is good, but is there a chance, like, home matches later this season where it's not the hottest ticket in town and people aren't going out of their way to go to these games?
If you were losing games and they had a score that really excited you, a single player, you know, I mean, Fuentes, I like him a lot. Hey, he's got an automotive ad going
on
right now. Yeah, Fagundes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's kind of cool. But I need a star. You need a star. This is Austin, Texas. You have to have a star. You can't have a bunch of guys possessing the ball and scoring every 12 games. That's not going to work here.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work for long. Yeah, the people that are loyal to you will stay loyal to you in a way, but you want those fans, as you said, the casual, but you want them to come and see, wait a minute, that dude over there scores a lot of goals. I got to go see him. He's got to be a part of my thought process to bring my kids over here to watch this. I must still be a good fan, but I'm going to be a good fan from the newspaper to listening to us in other ways. But I'm not going over there to see 1-0 or 0-0 games. I got to have a score. I have to have a star. And they're going to have to give up some money eventually to get a star.
For sure. No doubt about it. And in terms of answering my own question, I think this year, I agree with you. I think this year they'll be fine attendance-wise. But next year, 2 years from now, if the results don't start to turn, then what happens at Q2
Stadium? Give us something.
Is it still a 90-minute party, or are we talking about
absolutely,
you know, closer to an FC Dallas or a Houston Dynamo atmosphere, which is not ideal at all because those games don't sell out that often. So, yeah, I mean, it just feels like some of the buzz surrounding this team from the non-diehards. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm probably not talking to you, so don't take any offense to this.
Right.
I'm just not hearing people talk about Austin FC in casual conversation as much as I was a couple of months
ago.
Of
course not. They're in last place.
Yeah.
They're down at the bottom.
Exactly. I think that has everything to do with
sure.
it, right? You know, even though everyone gets excited for the first, right? The first match is huge.
Sure.
Everyone's pumped for the first road match. And then a couple of months later, we had the first match at Q2 Stadium, and everyone's going to be super amped up about that. But, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about one of the best teams in the league, I still think the buzz would be similar.
Oh, for sure.
We're talking about the worst
team in
the
West. They haven't won a match since May. I mean, I believe that's the case. They haven't won since May, and that's a strange deal. You know what I mean? That just doesn't – this is – it's football time. It's football season. The buzz will be there for the people that truly love soccer. And they understand what it's all about. You got to understand it's an expansion team. But if you had a star, if you had a young star or an old star or whatever, and you weren't winning, but there's a possibility of that guy scoring 2 in a game and some unbelievable goals, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going a lot. I like the fact that they have a professional team here. And I know this is the first year, but people are really, really quick to start movement of when are they going to score? What's going to happen?
Sure.
Dude, it's year one. It's an expansion team. They're not supposed – they tickled your fancy here when they got 2 in a row early in the season. So you got to live with it, but you want to see the organization itself go after somebody. But I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think they'll wait. And I don't blame them. I actually don't blame them for waiting and saying there's a couple young players that are overseas. We're going to go get them. We're going to spend the money next year.
Yeah.
You can't continue to do this for the next 2 or 3 years saying, you know, we'll just come around to what Josh Wolf is teaching right now. Mm-hmm. It won't work.
July 1st was the win against Portland.
Okay.
But before that match, it had been since May.
Yeah.
Since Austin FC had won a match. And yeah, the goal scoring continues to be an issue. And look, going into that Seattle game, I mean, if you just looked at the standings, you would understand the loss, right? Seattle has been the best team in MLS.
They have.
From day one. They've lost only one time all season long. They now have 32 points in 15 matches. Like, they've been ridiculous. But because of injuries, because of suspensions, because of a couple of players playing for the U.S. national team in the Gold Cup, Seattle was without 10 senior squad members.
That's incredible.
They were starting the second youngest lineup in MLS history. Not in Seattle history.
Right.
Not this year, in MLS history. Buck, I know you've got a cousin who's a betting man.
Yes.
Seattle was plus 270. Seattle was a huge underdog. Like, that tells you how shorthanded they were. If we're talking about a full Seattle team versus a full Austin team, then Austin would have been a huge underdog. But because Seattle was so shorthanded, this was a game that Austin was expected to dominate.
Yeah, and I'm
didn't
sure
do it.
Yeah, and I'm sure management is sitting there, and you know, I don't think they're wondering anything about Josh Wolf and his ability to coach. And I think we've all seen that. But you just can't make up stuff. You just can't put people in situations that's not what they do. You know, and Austin has had some injuries, but you can't start making up positions for guys that's not their specialty. They're not attackers. They're midfielders. They're guys that play on defense. But in the case of this team, guys have had to play out of position, whether it's injury or not. But the ones that are in positions just haven't come through.
I agree.
As I said, the designated players have not come through. And, you know, that's a part of some of the first-year experience for an expansion team that – you got to understand, it's going to be hard for some of these guys to make this club, I would think, next year, because your management does have to make moves,
mm-hmm.
and your coach.
They looked a little rusty to me on Thursday. It had been a couple of weeks since they had played an MLS match. They had that game against Tigres out of the Mexican League, but a lot of the regulars did not play.
They couldn't afford to do that.
For Austin FC in that game. So felt like there was some rust. There wasn't enough crispness with the passes in the attacking third, right? They dominated possession. We talked about that. But in the attacking third, it just didn't feel like the chemistry was where it needed to be.
Right.
Some of the passes were a little bit behind guys, and that killed a lot of the potential scoring chances for this club. But yeah, they've got to find a way. I mean, they keep winning the expected goals stat. That obviously doesn't mean anything. That doesn't translate into real wins and losses. But like, seeing that should give you some hope. Like, hey, they're playing well. They're not getting dominated in these games anymore. Like, there were times this year where we saw them get dominated, and it's like, okay, they're clearly the inferior club. They're not getting dominated in these games. They can't find a way to score. And I look, maybe it's the non-soccer diehard in me who just doesn't care that much about possession. Like, I keep hearing people bring that up, like, oh, they dominated possession. There's things you can build on. It doesn't translate into anything. Possession doesn't win you games. So if you're just playing keep away for 90 minutes, that's no good.
It almost
like,
feels
I don't
like
care about
anybody
that.
Could do that, play keep away, just backing it up, starting from the back. You know, starting back from the backcourt and bringing it up and then starting back again.
Yeah.
And you can keep time of possession. I think if you understand soccer and you know about soccer, you are that close. When you don't score in 10 matches, it seems like, well, you can't be that close if you're not scoring in 10 matches.
Right.
Give me a break.
8 out of 10.
But really, you really are, in a way, if you understand this game, that there's a few ups and downs that you're just that close. And if they can find a way to start scoring, which I don't expect them to, I expect to see exactly what, until they get some new players and they start to really understand each other. And for losing to the Sounders, yeah, that time of possession actually meant nothing when you're playing against a bunch of kids. They had a bunch of kids playing against.
Yeah.
You should have won that game. There shouldn't have been any ifs, ands, or buts. Those were kids that you played against.
Yeah. You're playing against like their third string keeper.
Correct.
And you only test them with 3 shots on target throughout the match.
Yeah, things will have to change. I'm not saying they're going to have to change quick, but...
Well, they're going to have to change quick if they want to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to really salvage this year, mm-hmm. that's going to be important. Because, as I said, I believe in the offseason, there will be changes. Now, this management and this ownership, they're not known for spending a lot of money, but this isn't Columbus. You know what I'm saying? This is Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. and expectations are high no matter what it is. I don't care if it's a car dealership. I don't care if it's a wine and spirit store. Expectations around here, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Where a restaurant, they get high expectations. And I think they have the same for this soccer team. Disappointment, I don't know if I can say I'm disappointed. I know the repetitive over and over and over and possession and opportunities. When you get opportunities, that's the part that bothers me more than anything. They don't have finishers. Mm. There's a ball that if your position was like this and your leg position was there and you didn't overshoot it, I think that's the thing that gets me, the individual play more so than anything. And not knowing who your designated players were and what you brought to the table. But then again, you can't do anything until you get them here.
Right.
But you've had to seen them before somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you paid them.
Right, absolutely. 3 wins, 7 losses, 4 draws now for Austin FC. They are dead last in the Western Conference standings. 13 points and 14 matches for El Tri. Currently 7 points out of a playoff spot. By the way, before we turn the page and start to look ahead to the next match against Colorado coming up July 31st, what did you think of the goal Seattle scored?
Oh,
man, that was pretty nasty. He caught Brad Stuver napping a little bit, but I don't think that's on Brad Stuver as much as that was just an impressive long-distance strike.
You know what? Sometimes people make plays, and we haven't seen a lot of plays like that from our own team. You know what I mean? Like a long strike, like, wow. I mean, there's a guy that put it right on the net, put it right where he wanted to put it, and I'm not blaming Stuver. It's hard to blame that dude for lack of support and what he's doing, but once again, 1-0 is you lose.
Yeah.
You lose the game.
Now you feel bad for him. I mean, you started off this podcast saying, I'm surprised he hadn't quit yet. I'm surprised he hasn't left the team yet, or at least gone on strike. Like, hey, help me out here. Yeah, unfortunately, if Brad Stuver doesn't put up a clean sheet, it feels like this club's going to come away with 0 points.
Yeah, they'll have to do something. They'll have to pick up the pace. There's always optimism for what goes on the remainder of the year because that's, by the way, that's soccer. All of a sudden, you can score a goal here, a goal there, and you'll be right back in this thing. But you and I have seen – I think I've seen enough sampling of what this team is all about, position by position, to understand. I know what Alex Ring is. I kind of know what you're going to get from Fagundes and Hard Play and some of the other Stout Jared Stout. I kind of know what I'm going to get from players right now. There's nothing that's going to change from game to game that's going to make them any different to me. It's time for some different players.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much they can address the roster this year, right? One more opportunity to add
a player
this summer. We'll see if Austin FC decides to pursue that, but will be an interesting offseason for Claudio Reyna and company.
That for sure.
Man of the match from the Seattle game. I mean, not a lot to like, but anybody stand out to you on Austin's side?
Well, the young Virginia Tech player needs to be playing a lot, and he's learning an awful lot, but the injuries have really sidetracked him, this year. He's a real-life player for them. I really think he is, and I think he'll go on to have a really incredible MLS career right here. Mm-hmm. I don't want him going anywhere else. That youth right there, that's a guy that I think can continue to grow. Alex Ring is always going to be what he is. And I don't want to be saying things about what the future is. It's still, we're like halfway.
Sure.
It's almost weird.
Hey, they could turn things around. I mean, you've got 20 matches left this year, so this thing is not over. They're 6 points out of a playoff spot. It's going to take some work, of course. They're going to have to find a way to score. But
athletically, I think you and I can see by the athletes that they have what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they need sometimes the lucky goals are good goals in the MLS and soccer in general. We've seen enough balls go off other. They got to continue to shoot the ball when they do have a chance. But when those individuals have an opportunity, they're the ones that have to put it in the net. Those are the ones we kind of get disappointed in. Oh, my God, the three shots they had, they just missed the shots.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that really hurt, BK.
Yeah. For me, Alex Ring was the man of the match for Austin FC. He's so good. I mean, you could tell he's the best player.
He's a veteran. He's such a veteran player.
Outside of Brad Stuver. And I know he's so important on the back end, right, as that defensive midfielder. And he's the guy who kind of generates attacks for Austin, which is great. But that I almost feel like he's one of the best guys with the ball on his feet on the team. And it's like...
Or you're going to foul him. He's going to make you foul him.
I almost want to play him out of position and just move him up a little bit because maybe he could generate some more scoring chances. Like, I just feel like he's so creative and so smart with the ball that I almost want that guy more in the attacking third just so he can generate some goal scoring for this club. Now, you take him away from the defensive half.
Back in the back.
Oh,
look
out. Yeah, and that scares the hell out of you. But, man, I almost like... I wonder if we get to a point in the season where Josh Wolf just tries that. I doubt it. It's playing a guy way out of position, and Austin FC has done that enough this year.
And
but,
he's been
a guy to shake things up, to try to give you more on offense.
And he's been in the MLS a long time. You don't want him getting worn down. I mean, if he becomes you want him to be your striker, your guy to really get down there into that zone, Vicky, I just worry about him. he'll be so exhausted. He may be exhausted for two games.
Yeah.
He can sit back there and do the things he's doing defensively and still get the offense going. But if you try to make him a totally offensive guy, that's an old dude. That's not a young dude.
I know. It's ridiculous. But
I'm just thinking of anything to try to help.
With the guys that you currently have right now, because you've got some injury issues and some of the guys who are playing just aren't getting it done.
And we're going to have to see how this club, you know, their clubs grow up and mature and start getting some local players that with local flavor that go off to other places, to go off to other colleges that may not be good to be in the European League, but come back and want to be in the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
These locals, I mean, once again, I wish the University of Texas had a men's soccer team.
That'd be nice.
Because that would be great for this organization. So they have to rely on their club teams, but your club's not going to get better in 1 year. It's going to take some time. It's just the fact that how long can you keep certain fans, that fan base. You don't want to all of a sudden start losing them because you know what they want? Now they want wins.
Yeah.
They don't care about the party anymore. They care about the wins and losses.
Up next for Austin FC, they were supposed to travel to Salt Lake City to take on the Vancouver Whitecaps, but that game has been rescheduled to September 4th. Vancouver hoping they can play at home by that time. So they've been playing their home matches in the U.S. We know what's going on with COVID in Canada. So that game's been pushed back in hopes of playing that in Vancouver. So Austin FC will now play another home match up next. They will take on Colorado Rapids at Q2 Stadium on July 31st. Of course, back in April, El Tri beat Colorado in Denver. It was the first win in club history, that three-goal barrage against the Colorado Rapids. That will be another home game for Austin FC. Colorado's been pretty good since then. They're currently fourth place in the Western Conference.
You need that win. When that game is at home, you need that win because all of a sudden things like football camps start to show up. People start thinking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Longhorns. And you don't want that to go out of your mind. Mm-hmm. You don't want the soccer team, even in their first year, to start for fans that are casual fans saying, you know what, it's football season, I'm done.
Yeah, you might lose some of the casuals. I still think there are enough diehards.
That party's nice.
Yeah, that party's not going anywhere. No. And the games will still be sellouts.
Absolutely.
And you'll still have a bunch of people invested in this
club. I will be there.
But, yeah, no, I mean, it's a fair point to bring up when other sports, like we're in kind of a lull in the American sports calendar right now. You've got baseball going on, but it's
some Olympics,
regular season Major League Baseball. Yeah, the Olympics, but those will go away here in a couple of weeks. But yeah, you know, football will get started soon. Then basketball will come back.
September and October, a big year.
Playoff
big
baseball will be here, and hockey will be coming back as well. So it's like, this is the time, it feels like, for Austin FC to strike, just to make sure. And once again, there are enough fans here to where they're going to be fine. But yeah, other people's interest will be dragged away to other things. So it'd be nice to start to get a little bit of a run here.
Yeah, and in the world of soccer, the casual fan, when they go away for a while until you start. They just go away for a while. And I don't think there'll be tons of those. But I know the casual fan now doesn't even – they don't talk very much about them.
Right.
You know why? But if they were winning and if they were, you know, 2 points away from being in the playoffs – they'd be talked about. That's the thin line between really understanding soccer, loving soccer, and understanding about it. And do we wait it out or do we move on?
Doug, I don't think that has anything to do with soccer. Those are just sports fans.
That's true.
Sports fans are bandwagoners in general.
That's true.
Obviously, you've got your diehards.
You're right.
The majority of sports fan bases are
will do the same thing.
Yeah, people, regardless, if it's the Dallas Cowboys, like they'll watch them when they're good.
If it's the Texas Longhorns, they do the same exact thing.
We've seen that at UT football games, right? They won't fill DKR if the team's not that good.
That's right.
So that's how it goes in every sport. But that's the next match for Austin FC. Once again, July 31st, 4 days from now. That'll be this weekend against Colorado, the fifth of a six-game homestand against Austin. For Austin FC. It'd be nice to take care of business at Q2. Once again, they've only scored in one of five matches at Q2 Stadium, that win against Portland back on July 1st.
Let's light it up green. Yeah. Night game
we almost had a goal. Against Seattle last week, but VAR came through and ruined everybody's life.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
PK, thank you very much. This has been another lot of fun. I always have a bunch of fun when we talk about soccer.
It's been a great time.
It really has, my friend.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Soccer. Duh. The Horns' unofficial yet so official soccer podcast with Bucky Godbolts and Brad Kellner. Thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate the continued support. Special thanks to our sponsors, Altstadt Brewery, 34 Wine and Spirits, Green Mountain Flower Company, and Brown Eye Clothing for making this all happen. We'll be back next week to recap the match against Colorado. Hopefully a win for the Verde and Black. Until next time, y'all stay safe. Y'all stay healthy. Keep it Verde. This has been Soccer.